I want to begin talking to you today about the Lutheran liturgy. As you likely know, the liturgy has been around a very long time. Even so, it is not outdated. The liturgy still, here in the 21st century, has many benefits for the worshiping Christian. For example, the liturgy is both historical and it's traditional. Now, why is that important? The answer is this. By worshiping in a way that keeps the church's history and traditions before us, friends, we can be mindful of the church's past. It is important for the Christian to know where he or she came from. What I mean by that is this. The Christian need never forget the great saints and theologians of old that God raised up to contend for his church. A church that you, by God's grace, are a part of. People like Martin Luther did not rail against the evils of his day only to expect the next generation of Christians to forget about the doctrine that he fought so hard for. The early church martyrs did not spill their blood only to expect present-day Christians to forget all the suffering they went through or to forget the provision of strength that God provides his people during intense times of persecution. Maintaining and confessing those doctrinal truths hammered out at the Council of Nicaea helps the church remember what she stands for and believes in. Our confessional and historical liturgy contains the Nicene Creed, by which we confess that doctrine that 4th century Christians fought so hard for, a doctrine that the church continues to believe in and confess. And traditions, friends, we know that traditions are those things that are passed down from previous generations. By keeping a tradition, a good, helpful tradition, it does, in some sense, keep us linked, connected to those Christians who lived and worshiped before us. The liturgy helps us with all of this. And yet, history and tradition are not the most important elements of the Lutheran liturgy. No. Of course, it's good to know our history. We need to. It is always good to maintain a helpful tradition. But friends, the most important thing about the liturgy is that it contains the mighty, powerful, holy word of God. Despite the sermon, despite the flesh and blood pastor standing before you, friends, you can come in this worship service and you can know with unwavering certainty that you will be fed by your Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because his word is present. The word that creates, the word that binds, the word that cuts, the word that heals the sinful heart. He is present. The word made flesh is present among us. How do we know this? Because our Lord Jesus gives us that promise. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Where the word is present, friends, you can trust that Christ is present. You cannot divorce the two. Today's gospel reading is all about the kingdom of God that comes by way of the word of God, all of which is compared to a tiny seed. The kingdom of God is like a man who scattered seed. That's what it says in the gospel reading. Now, for most of you, if you've ever planted something before, you know there are some steps that you take before you simply drop the seed into the ground. You want to till the soil, make sure it's fertilized and well-watered, and then you put the seed in and hope for the best. Now, if you're thinking to yourself that I left out a step or two or I got some steps out of order, that's perfectly possible. Forgive me. I'm not a farmer. But I think you get my point. We do our part when it comes to planting and growing crops and this, that, and the other. Even still, friends, we still cannot understand. All the science in the world cannot explain to us how that tiny little seed grows into a blossoming apple tree. All of man's wisdom cannot unlock the enigma of how a tiny little seed can grow into a blooming bush, flower. Man still cannot figure it out. There is a mystery to farming and planting that still causes us to scratch our heads. Now, I mentioned the steps that we take to do all of this, and certainly we do our part, or I should say we try to, whenever we're trying to get something to grow. But as we all know too, sometimes we do all we can, and what happens? The seed doesn't grow. I planted a rose bush here a month or two ago, and I just knew it was going to stay in full bloom for a good 1, 2, who knows, maybe 3 months, right? And I thought I'd done everything right, tilled the soil, put in some fertilizer, watered it, and what happens? No sooner than a week later, rose petals started to fall off. I thought I'd done everything I could, and yet the plant did not stay in bloom like I wanted it to. But friends, conversely, we also know too, sometimes you can simply scatter seed, and it grows. The point I want to drive home is that the seed on its own grows and produces the fruits and the crops. In today's teaching of our Lord, we see that the sower simply scatters the seed. There is no mention of the prep work he does. There's no mention of him tilling the soil and fertilizing and doing this, that, and some other things. No, he scatters the seed. And he rises day and night, going about his business while the seed grows and grows and grows. The seed does the work. And there's a four-word phrase in today's gospel reading that I think all of us can relate to. And it is, he knows not how. The seed produces fruit, yet the sower knows not how. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the kingdom of God that comes by way of his holy word, it is like a seed. Now, seeds in speaking may appear to be a little insignificant to you, but just like a tiny seed does mysterious and miraculous things, things we cannot fully understand, the Word of God does mysterious and miraculous things. The Holy Spirit comes by way of the Word. That is how the Holy Spirit comes to you, by hearing the words of Christ, by hearing his living and active Word. Faith is created. God's Word does what he sets it out to do, friends. In Isaiah, God speaks to us. And this is what God says through the prophet Isaiah. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Thus says the Lord. In the beginning, when God said, let there be light, there was light. When God told Noah, I will flood the earth, he flooded the earth. When Yahweh said he would bring his people out of Egyptian bondage, he did just that. And when he told them he would send them into exile for their unrepentant and idolatrous hearts, he did just that. When our Lord said he would be arrested, suffer, crucified, and rise again on the third day, those things happened exactly like he said. When our Lord Jesus Christ says, by hearing the word of God, faith is created, he means just that. The word of God does things, friends. And when by his word faith is created in the heart of a sinner, that person is suddenly not dead in sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Such a person has gone from darkness into light. Such a person is a possessor of the kingdom of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And remember, this powerful mighty Word of God, a Word that is recorded for us in the pages of Holy Scripture for us to read, learn, and inwardly digest. It is here in the worship service. It is here in the liturgy. What a shame when we get bored with it. What a shame when we get tired of God's Word and we want something else. God, let me feel you. God, make your presence known to me. God, give me a vision. Let me sense who you are. Brothers and sisters, statements like these sound very pious on the surface. But they are a way of saying, God, your word is not enough. Scripture is not enough. I need more. Give me more. Friends, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Be aware of the old Adam who always wants you to look for God apart from his word. You cannot separate the two. God's word is enough. By his word, faith in Christ is created. Faith is nourished by the word. Faith is sustained by the word. On the pages of Holy Scripture, friends, you have everything you need. Everything sufficient for your salvation. And if you're wondering, Pastor, what about works? Where do works fit in? Right here. Works come forth from the mighty word of God. The good tree will bear good fruit. By the living word of God, a person is brought to faith, and on account of being justified, that is to say, right with God for the sake of Jesus Christ, good fruits will come forth. You can't expect good, pleasing works out of the person who is alive to God in Jesus Christ. The Word works. The Word accomplishes what our Lord sets it out to do. And you can trust God's Word when He says to you, in Christ, all of your sins, your entire record of sin, is wiped clean by the shed blood of Jesus. You can trust in God's word that says this life here and now, it is not the end of the road. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is the eternal kingdom of God, yours through Jesus Christ. You can trust in God's word when he declares to you that indeed, despite your sin, you are justified. That means right with God on account of the one who took all your sins and paid for your sins on the cross, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith, friends, receives all of this. Faith, which comes by the word, which is compared to a seed, and grabs hold of all of God's promises, and they become yours. It may seem insignificant. Just like that little seed that's dropped into the soil. But friends, remember, God's word is not insignificant. It does exactly what our Lord says it's going to do. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some of you sitting in the pew, been Christian most, maybe all of your life, and you're thinking to yourself right now, ha, snore, I've heard this before, Pastor. I've heard this my whole life. And guess what? My life hasn't gotten any better. Pastor, my life has gotten worse. I still suffer, you know. I still battle with sins. I still suffer from temptation. Does this mean God's word does not do what he sets it out to do? Does this mean God's word really is null and void? That Holy Scripture is just words on a page? And nothing more. Is that what we take from it? The old Adam, that is to say our sinful nature, would say, yes, that's exactly what it means. Close your Bibles. Go find a different religion. The devil would say, yes, that is right. Because you are suffering and because you are being tempted, God's word does not work. You know better, Christian. You know better. Hear what the Lord's word says. Our Lord Jesus Christ never promised to give us happy feelings and pleasant emotions all the time in this life. Even Jesus laments over Jerusalem. Even Jesus weeps at the tomb of Lazarus. Our Lord Jesus Christ never said, "You will never be tempted." Not at all. In the Lord's Prayer, our Lord instructs us to pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation." And the scriptures are clear about this as well. We know, friends, suffering is part and parcel to the Christian life. Even the Holy Son of God suffered on a cross for you, for me, indeed, for the sins of the entire world. Here's what our Lord Jesus does promise. A wonderful promise. A promise that you cannot find offered by anything in this world. It is a promise that comes only by way of the one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here is the promise for you. And that is on account of the work of Jesus, His blood shed on the cross, by all of which He has accomplished for you, you are justified. That means forgiven. That means an heir to the everlasting kingdom of God, a kingdom in which you will not suffer, you will not shed a tear, you will not have pain. That kingdom is yours, friends, right here and now by faith in your crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that promise is more than sufficient for you, and it is clear, declared loudly in Holy Scripture. By faith in your Savior. Faith which comes by hearing the Word. Faith which may seem very small, and yet it possesses the kingdom of God. By this faith in Christ, you have His righteousness, friends. That means God looks down upon you in Christ, and He sees not a dead sinner, not one who is condemned in his trespasses, but He looks and says, "That is my child. You have the righteousness of Christ. You are justified." Again, this mighty word that proclaims and does all these things is present here in the liturgy, in the worship service. Remember and do not forget that by this word great things happen. Faith is created. Faith is nourished. And by this faith in Christ, friends, you have God's assurance that just as that tiny little seed does miraculous things on its own, God does something only He can do on His own. And that is declare you to be His holy, righteous, and forgiven child on account of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again. Amen.